We'd like to welcome the radio audience to the Sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. This morning, we will have a scripture reading from Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. And then we will hear Pastor Angel's sermon on prophetic authority. If you are blessed by this radio ministry and would like to help support it, your gift would be very appreciated. Gifts may be sent to Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street here in Seymour. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee.
The word of God for the people of God. May it be received with the authority of Christ Jesus. Today, I acknowledge that I am using several pieces of others' work to put together this message. The first is from who I consider two contemporary prophets, Ronald Allen and Clark Williamson, who were my professors in seminary. The next is going to be a prophetic voice from an elementary teacher in Marion, Indiana, who is standing up for the children that she teaches. She is standing against bullying. She is standing against all of the nonsense that these poor children hear from our mouths, from our examples, from the news. That is indeed prophetic. And some of it comes in pieces from different lectionary and commentaries. But all of it is put together by the Holy Spirit of God. This chapter presents us with a look at the Jewish leaders of Jesus' time. At that time, visiting rabbis, visiting teachers were invited to teach in the synagogue. And Jesus spoke in the synagogue. And they marveled because he spoke with prophetic authority. You see, beloved, prophecy is not all about telling the future, although many of the prophets of old and several of the contemporary prophets are given a word, something spoken into being. What prophecy is God's mouthpiece. The prophet, the preacher, the pastor, the evangelist, you and I, sharing God's word in a manner that particular audience can hear it. And it is my sincere prayer that I always do that. And if there is something that you don't understand, I have an open door policy. Please come to me. We will talk and we will work towards the bottom of it. There will be times that I will admit I don't know, but I will find out with you. Free at last is Martin Luther King's address. Thank God Almighty that we are free at last. These words spoken by Martin Luther King Jr. when he concluded his famous "I Have a Dream" speech during the march on Washington, D.C. in August 1963. Something that my grandmother never let me forget because I happened to be born August 27th and prevented her from being there. That would be my claim to fame. I got born and held my grandmother back from going. The rocky road of service that King would travel began rather harmlessly. He left Boston with his new bride, Coretta Scott, and settled in Montgomery, Alabama, where he had been appointed to pastor Dexter Avenue Baptist Church. All was settled. And then, Rosa Parks provided us with an example of prophetic authority. Tired, worn out, and discouraged, she refused to take her place at the back of the bus in segregation. That spoke volumes to King. And he began to be a voice for people who could not speak for themselves, for the sanitation workers, for the oppressed, and for the poor. And beloved, that is what prophetic authority is when we advocate. You don't have to be a preacher, a pastor, an evangelist. You don't have to know a whole lot about theology. You do have to stand up against the injustice of this world in a manner that gratifies Jesus, in a manner done with love, not with violent displays. We are the voice of those who do not yet have a voice. We have authority. Today, the evil that is being mentioned in this passage would be described as objectified evil. Beloved, I believe fully in both human evil, the evil that is a result of wounded people, people who have been hurting others, people who are off balance, doing things from a mind that is not completely sane. And I believe fully, as our word points out over and over again, in the principalities and powers of this dark age. Now, I don't blame everything on the devil. I believe a good part of evil in our society is of human nature. We have become hard and calloused. Beloved, had we as the church been doing as she was called to do, we would not have needed the New Deal, food stamps, or welfare. We would have helped the widows, the orphans, those temporarily set back. And we would have helped them to help themselves. To strip that away now is cruel. Yes, there's people who take advantage of these programs. But there are a lot of people who use them as stepping stones. I'll never forget as long as I live. I didn't go to junior high. I didn't go to high school. I was terrified when I went to Indiana Wesleyan and sat in this class with 150 privileged kids. And Barb Matchett, who started Family Services in Marion, Indiana, asked what someone on welfare looked like. And she kept writing on the whiteboard everything everybody was saying. And when we got to the end of it, basically encapsulated a 15-year-old black girl who sat around the house all day eating bonbons. And when she wanted another child, or when she wanted more money, she had another child. At the time, I did not have voice. I wanted to stand up and say, no, this is what it looks like. I had walked my son for 12 hours, crying and debating, do I keep the lights and the gas on for all four of my children, or do I pay his father's hospital bill, which prevented me from taking him to the hospital? And when I went out to get Medicaid, I had to have it all, but I did work. And I was only on that program for a year. And most people use those type of programs as a stepping stone. The program that Pastor Sandra is going to introduce to us today is designed to be a helping hand up and not a hand out. It is designed to give us as the church the privilege of being a prophetic voice for those who do not yet have voice. I'd like to read to you something that an elementary teacher in Marion, Indiana wrote, and I agree full-heartedly with her. This, beloved, is prophetic authority. When your pacing changes from anxiety to anger, I have quite frequently confessed unrighteous anger to God. But this feels more like righteous anger. I am angry. I'm angry about injustice, but probably not the injustice that you were all thinking about. This injustice knows no color and goes way beyond socioeconomic bounds. This is an injustice that she has seen up close and personal, and I have seen time and time again, and I'm sure several of you have as well. Child abuse, child neglect. I have seen the aftermath of parents' abuse and addiction. You want to talk about injustice? There it is in all of its ugly glory. I am angry about the hijacking of words. Words that have been twisted into a whole new meaning so that, heaven forbid, you should use that word with its original intent. How insensitive of you. Or uninformed. Uneducated or deplorable. I am angry about name calling. I am angry about bullying. I am angry about the witness that we present to our children, to our teenagers, to our future. I am angry at the church. There, I said it. The church, the bride of Christ, has lost her way somewhere along the line. All in the name of love. Oh, I absolutely believe we should love all of our neighbors as ourselves, she writes. I absolutely believe we should treat others the way we want to be treated. I absolutely believe the church doors should be open to all. But I also absolutely believe that we are doing a huge disservice to people if we stop at Jesus loves you and so do I. We love them. We bring them in. We bring them to the foot of the cross. But we preach the whole truth as well. Because one day there will be a judgment day. And I am called as that prophetic voice, as that watchman, to prepare others. If not, their blood will be upon my hands. Each and every one of us, she writes, will stand before God Almighty one day and account for how we have lived our lives. You are correct in saying Jesus died for all of us. But it doesn't stop there. If it did, there would be no evil. We shouldn't have to be talking about unity and equity because it should already be in place if we were actually living out the word. But there still is evil and there still is injustice. And this is not in any way, shape, or form some kind of utopia. Jesus did indeed die on the cross for each and every one of us. But we still have to repent for our sins and accept the grace and forgiveness so freely offered to us. And beloved, that's where you come in. That is where your prophetic authority comes in. Because you have been given the authority not only to crush snakes, to trample on scorpions, You have been given the authority in Jesus Christ to offer forgiveness in His name, to tell people no matter what you have done, He loves you and washes you clean. There's no greater power than that. Let me conclude with what Kimberly Bragg Knight and I believe. As you start hearing the words, I ask that you say it with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the everlasting life. And here is what I know. God is still in control. And His plans are far greater than anything any of us can possibly imagine. The song that'll play as soon as I'm finished with this message is by David Crowder, Crushing Snakes. I know some people think that I might talk a bit much about spiritual warfare, but I think that's because we don't all have the same definition. Spiritual warfare often is nothing more than Satan arousing our emotions and causing division among us. Satan arousing our emotions and telling us that we're not good enough to say or do something. Satan telling us that we can't reclaim this city, that we can't make a difference. I love this song. We have authority. We are not afraid. Terrors of night and arrows that fly by day. 10,000 may fall, but we will remain. Right from Scripture. We are not afraid. A promise of God can never be torn away. Walking on the hands of angels, crushing snakes, safe under the shadow of His wings, our fortress and our strength, we are taking back our freedom. Our battle has been won. Beloved, if we can remember that the battle has already been won, we know who wins. We can withstand these end times that are only going to get a little bit more difficult for us. But we can stand with prophetic authority and truth, and we can reclaim our freedom in our family, in our places of employment, in our church, and in our city. Scripture describes the office, mission, and responsibility of the prophet, and the great authority with which one speaks. While in the desert, Moses spoke with God about his successor. In response, Yahweh describes very clearly what I expect of both a prophet and his audience. And beloved, what God expects as well. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in that prophet's mouth. Anyone who does not heed the word of the prophet speaking in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die. Deuteronomy 18:18-20. Clearly, God is saying that being a prophet is both a privilege and incurs severe responsibility. In Ezekiel, we are told that the watchman, the prophet, the pastor, the preacher, the evangelist, is not only to proclaim love, we also have to speak some hard truths that people don't want to hear. I'm real glad I don't have to act things out like Ezekiel did. And that more than likely, none of you are going to throw me into a cistern. However, frequently people turn their back on me. Think that I've kind of lost it. Whatever else. I am still called to preach the whole Word of God. Because if I don't, those who perish without knowing, their blood is on my hands. And I can't live with that. We have prophets today, numerous examples, Martin Luther King Jr., Teresa of Calcutta, Desmond Tutu. I loved that man. He had the cutest little giggle, had a heart for children, and he spoke the hard truths in love, in a way that people could receive it. That's a prophet. For Christians, Jesus is our ultimate prophet. Jesus of Nazareth. For he had personal knowledge of the Father. He had one-on-one communication with the Father. He knew what displeased the Father. He knew what pleased the Father, and he knew what word to speak to raise up, encourage, equip, and deploy all of his disciples, not just the 12, not just the 72, all who came and listened to him and all of us through the reading of the word. And that is my job as well, beloved. And many of you far astound me with your biblical knowledge. And I have no problem learning from others. I am grateful for that opportunity. But I am called to challenge you. And there's going to be times where I'm going to rattle things around here and you're not going to like it. But that's okay. That's okay. That's what God has called me to do. And if you truly get on your face before him and you find in me something that is not of his word, a challenge that is only of my own vocation and not given by the word of God, you come to me. You call me out. You challenge me on how I'm doing things so that we all function together as a team. I want to hear your voices as well. Jesus' mission was challenging, yet he proclaimed it when it was convenient and when it was inconvenient. He was courageous and bold, and he didn't silence himself when the word did not sit well with others. Rather often, Jesus' message raised conflict. It shook people up. His message was challenging people. It challenged their sensibility. It challenged them to get out of their comfort zones. It rocked their worlds. Moses, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Amos, Hosea, they spoke God's word as it was presented to them, and they acted with authority and did what God asked of them. And believe me, that's not easy to do. In the church, there are courageous people. All of you sitting here, I would count among that. You serve as that voice for those who do not have a voice. Some speak out for the unborn. Some speak out for the elderly. Some speak out against bullying. Some speak out in other ways. Some have a heart of prayer. Jennifer, I don't want to put you on the spot, but dear, you are a prophet. I have watched you in Sunday school class time and time again say something with peace and calm and love that bridged a gap that was scripturally correct, that put us all on focus in one sentence. And I love that. I have seen examples like that in many of you. That one just popped into my mind right now. And Terry knows. It pops into my mind and comes out my mouth. There are many others in our contemporary society who serve as prophets and probably don't even realize it. Teachers, teachers' aides, coaches, nurses, doctors, grandparents, parents. I hope you're listening in our audience. You have prophetic authority in your children's lives. Grandparents, you have prophetic authority in your grandchildren's lives. You are prophets to them in a real way. By the reading of the word, by being doers of the word, by taking responsibility and standing up for them when there is injustice. Children, are you listening? Are you listening to your parents, to your grandparents, to your aunts and to your uncles, to the mentors and the elders in the church who want the very best for you and want to love you exactly where you are, but they want to make your journey a little easier than theirs by implanting some of the Bible in you at a young age? Contemporary prophets abound in our society. Some may be pastors, but most are everyday people like you. Let us therefore consider our call to speak God's word. Let us be prophets. May we be Christ to one another. May we be Jesus with skin on to one another. Let us be inspired by his actions. May we, beloved, believe, act, and proclaim the self, the same. And now this song by David Crowder has prophetic authority indeed. It talks of crushing snakes. It talks of taking our freedom back. It talks of us being visible in our cities, coming against addiction, speaking out for the broken. So I hope that you enjoy it with me.
Thank you. Okay.